This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and after a short time off, we're back to look ahead to West Ham's trip to Selhurst Park. Albert and Hesketh are in tow, so with no further ado, let's get into it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, welcome guys, welcome. We'll start with saying happy belated birthday to a certain Sam Hesketh. Week off work to go along with it, you've the joys of spring.
Yeah, just coming back from 2 weeks off for like Christmas and New Year, I thought I'll give him a week. And then I'll bugger off for a week again. That's very nice.
Working hard or hardly working, am I right? And a day off for you as well, Albert?
Yeah, not for the most pleasant of reasons, but a day off nonetheless.
Yes, indeed. Well, we won't delve any further. Let's get into, which one should we do this week? We'll do this
Dan,
one.
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer? I'm going to leave you three to it, man.
Well, I'm a bit dubious about this one. It's my last one left from the Funk Range by Tiny Rebel, and it's Tropical Fruit and Bubblegum Sour. So,
I don't know what there is to worry about with a name like that.
Yeah, it tastes like a sour bubblegum. So, we'll see how that goes down. You went and got a beer, Albert.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as jazzy as yours, I'm afraid. I've gone for a Pacifico Clara.
Oh, yeah. And it's your fourth beer of the day as well.
Yeah, I think it's the third. Honest.
Exciting show ahead. And Hesk, if you keep talking about wanting to do this show where we all just get absolutely battered before we start recording, so
yeah,
are you stretching into that one?
Well, it's something that we've promised ourselves for the last 2 years, I think, and then just haven't done it. But as per, I'm on the water because it's Friday evening and I know how to live large. So
it is Friday, isn't it? Yeah, so we are recording on Friday, so bear that in mind, because I think West Ham play after we record, and before we play them, they played Donny in the FA Cup, who I think was the last opposition that we scored a cup goal against. So
in 1984.
It was Max Meyer as well, wasn't it?
Max Meyer did score in that game, and of course we'll get into him shortly. But first, support for the Back of the Nest podcast is brought to you by Manscapes, who is the best in the men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code BOTN. Now, before we started recording, Hesketh, if you was telling me you're watching Chorley against Wolves in the FA Cup, and a certain former Palace man's kicking off on the sidelines.
Yeah, I put on the second half whilst we were waiting for Albert to turn up, and Traore went down, or he went down easy, or something happened, and the Chorley bench was sort of giving him a bit of shit, and there was one coach on the bench who was absolutely pissing himself, like pointing and laughing at Traore as Traore was getting even more and more upset. And on closer inspection, it turned out to be Andy Priest. So I was very, very much into that.
What's his hair saying these days?
His hair is saying nothing. He is completely bald.
Who would have thunk it? Those glorious little plaits and all sorts. He looked great. Oh, terrible times.
He's gone way overboard with the manscaping, obviously. You forgot to add, Terence, that if they do use the Bakthanes code on manscaped.com, that Hesketh actually comes round and does it for you. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
I don't think I read the small print when I signed up for this. Hang on.
Hope you got a steady hand, mate.
Well, I mean, he is from France. Bit of ooh la la. Anyway, look, from one man who likes kicking off in Andy Priest, obviously, to another. Albert, Jason Puncheon, it seems, is really starting to get into things in Paphos, getting player of the month, I think, for the second month running, it was saying. Have you seen all this? Paphos has been exploding in the Palace Twitter scene this week.
Yeah, I've been very busy at work, so I can't say I've been scouring the social medias too intensely. But I did see that he'd won Player of the Month 2 months in a row. And I mean, I don't know what the bar's like out there. I don't know what the other players are like, but you know, it's nice to see him getting some form of glory.
The bars were pretty good when I was in Cyprus.
Yeah,
Iron Apple, mate.
Yeah.
Let's hope he's not. Let's hope he's behaving himself on the nights out. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's having a belt in time. Hesketh, Paphos was saying that once everyone's allowed back into stadiums and things get back to normal, they'll be putting special deals on for Palace fans to come over and watch after the response they got to the post on Twitter. You up for that?
Yep, amazing, mate. After the last year or so, going anywhere on holiday sounds great, let alone Cyprus to watch Palace or to watch Function even.
Yeah. What about you, Albert? You up for Paphos away?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Cyprus before. I can't say I caught any football. You know, maybe Paphos is you know, maybe a bit of a more fun day out than Selhurst, you know.
Just a little bit. Night out might be a bit better
pathos,
after.
Not pathos, i.e. pity or sadness, you know, which is what we normally get at Cellar. So, yeah, let's try pathos.
Yeah, so I'm totally up for it. So if it happens and we play them in a friendly, or even if we just go and watch Punch and play for Paphos, if he hasn't retired by the point we're actually allowed to go to stadiums again, I'm well in. Well, from one punch to another, Albert, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is buying Crystal Palace. Have you heard this?
I can't say I have, no. Something tells me it's not always not what it seems, but I'll go along with it. Go on.
Yeah, Fox News in Vegas, or it wasn't Fox News, it was Fox Net or something like that in Vegas, announced that he was interested in buying Crystal Palace. But then when you got down to the next line of it, it's an ice skating rink in Vegas. So,
I know which one I'd rather be in charge of.
I say ice skating rink, it said skating rink. So I don't know, it might just be skating, not ice skating. But kind of brings back vibes of P. Diddy, doesn't it, Hesketh? Who's on mute? Not a rapper.
Yeah, everything's shit. I hate Palace and P. Diddy. Everything's shit. I'm drinking water.
Fucking hell. I might as well just go. That was spot on.
Don't even know why Bob's turning up. But yeah, P. Diddy, Colonel Gaddafi, he wouldn't have seemed out of the list. Well, it's Colonel Gaddafi's son, wasn't it? It wasn't actually Gaddafi, but himself. But yeah, Floyd Mayweather Jr. would fit on that list nicely, I reckon.
Yeah, it'd make the team entrance a bit more glam, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would. But Floyd Mayweather would probably start when he's put himself in the team or something, I'd imagine.
He might get in at this rate.
Okay. Yeah, can he play up front? Can he put the boy in the youngin bag? Former Palace goalkeeper, we might have talked about him on the last show, Tom King, who plays in goal for Newport. He saved a couple of penalties in the Brighton shootout and got hands for a dunk one, nearly saved it, saved a Mopay penalty. But after a good week for him, he's gone and scored from a goal kick, Hesketh. And got in the Guinness Book of Records for it. 96 metres.
Yeah, not bad. I saw the goal on Twitter. And obviously the best part of a goalkeeper scoring a goal is the reactions of all of the defenders of the the team that have just conceded. Yeah, just massive punt from a goal kick, bounces once over the goal and goes in. So
big old wind assist as well for the goal. Albert, it might as well get him in as well. Someone who can score.
It's a shot, isn't it? It's a shot. We'll take it.
Right. All kicked off on my Twitter feed this week after I posted a picture or a screen grab from Nathan Ferguson's Instagram. I know you saw this, Hesketh. I don't know if you saw it, Albert, but he posted a picture of Lamptey from Brighton signing a new contract on his Instagram. And it's a picture of Lamptey standing in front of a massive Brighton crest. And needless to say, I was shocked to find such a pro Brighton looking post in my Instagram feed for starters, but then to see that it was Nathan Ferguson who posted it, I was a bit upset. I don't think Palace players should be posting this. Am I overreacting?
No. Well, again, without looking at your response, I'm sure it was fairly measured, Terence. I know you're not a lunatic. I don't want to see Palace players posting Brighton content unless it's like Wilf's kind of baiting type messages that he does sometimes. I don't want to see that. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, I don't think I was particularly out of line. I got told to grow up a few times, saying that I should just be leaving alone. People saying I'm massively overreacting, but. I sort of referencing Wilf Zaha was on Jamie Carragher's podcast, and he talked about the players in the Palace changing room not really understanding the Palace Brighton rivalry. He did also then say, back when he first started playing for Palace and we'd play Brighton, players like Paddy McArthur would really know what it means to the fans. So maybe I should take with what Wilf's saying with a pinch of salt, but. So it just all sort of like stemmed from that. I was already pissed off from that podcast of listening to us, saying that the change room doesn't feel like a derby before games is what Wilf was saying. And then we've got Nathan Ferguson posting this. Hesketh, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel the same as you. Brighton's players always seem more up for it as a sort of derby rivalry game than we do. So it doesn't really, with that in the back of my head, it doesn't really help that a player's sort of bigging up your rivals. Like, I understand, they're probably mates and I get it, but drop them a text, mate, DM. Yeah. Don't need to be seeing a Brighton shirt on the feed.
Yeah, and also what pissed me off about it as well is a fucking banging picture. That's what really upset me about it. I was like, where's this sort of content? You've seen these ones at Mateta holding a corner flag, swag, like, seriously, it upset me, but yeah, I was surprised.
Now we're getting to the real root of the problem. Yeah, I love it.
But I was just genuinely surprised at the reaction of some Palace fans, who were just like, it's his mate, leave him alone, and all sorts of things like that. But I'd be surprised to see him, having grown up, I believe, a West Brom fan. I'm not imagining I'm going to see him posting anything congratulating Wolves players at any point in the near future. But again, I think Wilf has to take some responsibility here, and he's the senior leader in that changing room when it comes to being Palace. And if he's saying that the changing room in a Brighton game doesn't feel any different and they don't really understand what it means, he should be getting hold of them and letting them know damn well what it means to the fans and how important it is, because I think Roy had to get an absolute pasting at Brighton away in the FA Cup that time after we lost there, and we lost to them a couple of times in a row.
I was going to say, and Roy, I'm sure Roy's come out on the record, not necessarily recently, a couple of seasons ago, and almost said the same thing. Am I making that up?
Oh, well, he come out and he had to clarify that he knew that it meant something to the fans and that he wants them to win it. But like, a lot of football managers don't really care about it, do they? For them, it's just another game and another. It's just 3 points. They don't want to.
Or know, not. Sometimes.
It hasn't been. Well, I guess we took four off of them last season, I guess, didn't we? And what, 1 point this season? So I don't know, but you know, that season they did the double over us. Both of those performances were completely abject, and it's not what you want to see. And you got Palace players on one hand here congratulating him and congratulating Brighton players, but I can only imagine what Lewis Dunk would do to a Brighton player if they did that to a Crystal Palace player. So, indeed. We need more what Tyrick Mitchell did. So Tyrick Mitchell squared up to Lamptey when we played him earlier this season, if you remember that, on the sideline. It looked like a scene from, The Wolf of Wall Street, when they get all the dwarves in to the office.
it did look like he picked a fight with a ball boy.
Yeah, Tyrick Mitchell is not that big himself either, but we're going to stay on Tyrick Mitchell because Hesketh, he signed with Salthouse in the last week as his agent, and now he's all over the newspapers saying that he's out of contract in 6 months. It's just typical Salthouse behaviour, isn't it?
I didn't know that about him signing with Salthouse, actually, but yeah, this evening, just before we were recording, I saw a link from, I think, The Standard saying that Arsenal were looking at him, and someone on the BBS was saying, oh, he's 6 months before he's out of contract, which I mean, I'm pretty sure that I read he'd signed an extension somewhere. It seems a bit stupid if we're letting that run down.
We're absolutely not. I'm almost positive he signed a new contract, but you know, we're a bit weird with announcing contracts, so it probably hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, with an agent like that, it doesn't surprise me that stories start coming out about bigger teams, in inverted commas, wanting him.
Probably doing it for an extra couple of grand a week or something, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he's fully our first choice number one left back now, isn't he? So, like I said, I think it'd be stupid if we don't sign to a contract. I think, like you said, I think you probably have, and we certainly shouldn't be letting him go. So pinch of salt, that sort of story.
Mm. Well, there is someone we have let go, Albert, and that's Max Meyer, after what I'll kindly put down to, I guess, as a failed experiment, albeit a very, very expensive one. Are you sad to see him go, or do you think it's the right thing to let him go? And what's your thoughts on it?
I certainly think it's the right thing to let him go, because, like you say, it hadn't worked. It clearly was never going to work. He couldn't even, you know, find his way onto the bench at times or grab any, you know, not that we're in the cups a lot these days, but, you know, rarely found himself on the pitch, you know. So I think it's the right thing to let him go, but it's... Whether I'm happy about it, though, is another thing. I don't know. Listen, we never know what goes on. You don't see the players trained. Don't know what their relationships are. But it just seems very, very strange that for whatever reason, it might be completely Max Meyer's fault. It might not be. But it just seems very, very strange that he was so frozen out at a time where, you know, over the past, how long has he been? Is it 2 years? Or was it 18 months?
I think it's three years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had players banging form in the middle of the park. You know, James McArthur, if he's available, yeah, he's in the team. And, you know, Luca was on a real purple patch for a while, not so much in recent months. But, you know, you just sort of thought that there was still an opportunity for a player like Max Meyer to come in. But he never really came in and looked like he was able to pick a position and say, that's the position that I'm going to try and make my own. He came on, he'd float around and look, was quite tidy on the ball, but you know, he just never really did much. As much as I'd like to have seen it happen, and like I say, I can only speculate as to why that is, but yeah, I mean, to let him go, fair enough. We're obviously not confident that anyone was going to actually give us any money for him, so it's probably just, you know, our feeder saying, and see you later.
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh to say he didn't really do that much. I think it was the times he was off the bench when we were 1-0 down, he'd come on, and him and Wilf linked up a few times well. He scored a couple of goals and whatever. But Hesketh, I know we were both big fans in terms of like wanting to see more game time. Mm. But in that amount of time, do you get the impression that if he was good enough, he should have been able to force his way in?
Yeah, I think playing sort of sticking stubbornly to certain systems obviously didn't help either. There's no doubt he's a talented player. He's obviously technically really good. And like you say, he did show some good glimpses in the few times he played. But I think if he doesn't fit into the system that Roy's playing, whether that's the 4-4-2 now or, you know, the 4-3-3 before, then it's quite hard to get a look in. And yeah, like you say, if he did a lot in training or he showed something else to Roy, then you would assume he'd get more game time. So it's not really a surprise. I think the writing was on the wall from last year, really. I just assumed he'd run his contract down and leave in the summer. So I suppose the only shock was that he left in January. But now that we've picked someone else up, who I'm sure we're going to talk about, it sort of makes sense that he'd go in January and we say thanks and have a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he's a centre midfielder who's coming, and Roy clearly in his 4-4-2 will quite happily sacrifice one of his flanks to play a centre midfielder out there. He did it with Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He's doing it currently with Eze. He tried to do it with Max Meyer, but it didn't really work. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where we move to next season, because with McArthur aging a bit, McCarthy talks about him leaving, but he's also, you know, he could get injured at any moment. You kind of then look at Jairo Riedewald, who's a young, exciting centre midfielder, and you wonder if he'll actually be given a long run in there, or we'd actually try and bring someone else if God forbid Roy's still in charge next season, which I think is looking increasingly likely that he might be. Go on, Albert.
Do you think Hennessy waved him off?
Well, I hope not. But we're talking about waving him off, he did seem to get quite a lot of love from Palace players. There was lots of players posting on social media, like saying goodbye to him, and he seemed to be having quite a good relationship with them. So, yeah, it seems like he might be. The loss might be felt around the changing room and the training ground, because he seemed to be liked. But yeah, just sad times. It hasn't worked out. But he's, as Hesketh says, he goes out the door. Another one comes in. Now I'm going to speak to Albert first. Let you contain your excitement, Hesketh, that we've signed a Frenchman. But Albert is a striker that probably none of us have ever seen play. So what could be more exciting?
Correct.
Until we see him play.
it's not Ivan Kavidis all over again, is it? Do you know what I mean? Like just another, like I say, I can't profess to have heard of him, let alone seen him play. But for God's sake, he's a striker. You know, based on where we are in terms of strikers, the odds on him scoring as many or maybe even more than our current strike force is actually quite good, just based on the fact that the current strike force barely scores. So when you look at it like that, it's a great signing. You know, the potential's there to improve vastly on what we've got. And that might just be by scoring like 4 goals. So good luck to him.
Yeah, well, I think he's done all right in a very crap maintenance team, really. You know, really struggling in the Bundesliga, but he's still scored several goals this season, including a hat-trick as well, I believe. But yeah, so Hesketh, you've been pining for a Frenchman since Kabay left. You've finally got one in. What's your initial thoughts on him?
Yeah, like you say, I need another French lad in. Mama has been basically injured the whole time he's been here, so that hasn't really counted, and he's off anyway. Like Albert said, he's a striker. I mean, obviously he's French, that's great. He's a striker who seems to be able to score in a decent league. I mean, let's not forget he's got, you know, 25 goals in 60 games or something in the league that Alexander Sørloth scored 1 in 20. So he's obviously got something about him. It's not a pub league. And if people weren't excited already. Listen to how excited German people are about this. I mean, do I need to say anything else?
Well, probably not. Can you translate that one?
I think goal, Jean-Philippe Mateta.
goal, Jean-Philippe Mateta. Goal. There you go. Chant. Done.
He's at home already. I did listen to an interview with the Mainz fan that DR did on the Back of the Nest YouTube, which is well worth a listen if you haven't listened to it already. It's only sort of a quarter of an hour long. And I liked a lot of what he said. You know, he said that he's good in the air, can hold the ball up. Apparently he's a really likeable bloke, so the fans sort of backed him.
Good positional sense, he said as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously helps getting the fans on side if you're scoring goals, so I'm sure if he does have him too. But he's still young as well. I mean, he's only 23, so, you know, this is another sort of step in the Eze Ferguson mould of bringing in younger players as part of this rebuild. And I think what I do like about bringing him in January is that, you know, he's got the rest of this season to sort of settle in, and then next season sit on the bench. And then next season, if Roy isn't here, he can hit the ground running, you know, because there's going to be a big sort of upheaval in the summer, isn't there? So it's a good chance for him to sort of get to know the team, bed in, and then really kick on next season.
It's an interesting one. With the loan, you've got to imagine that this is something to do with Benteke and whether he's signing a new contract or whether we want to get someone in who we can see if we have a replacement so we don't have to keep Benteke any longer and can let him go. I don't know. It seems like a weird deal to do, especially with Batshuayi in and Ayew and Zaha and Benteke. Striker was one area that I really didn't think we were going to try and strengthen when obviously, you know, they've looked at it and think the strikers aren't scoring enough goals outside of Wilf. So they brought someone in. So I'm surprised, but it'll be interesting to see how it works out. Big guy, kind of Benteke size in that sense, but looks a little bit chunkier than him as well, a bit stronger. If we play to his strengths, hopefully he'll score some goals, but who knows? And I mean, Albert, I've seen various different opinions of people suggesting that the song should be a Hakuna Matata. I've seen it be referred to as brilliant, but also referred to as fucking Nigel's. So what do you reckon?
I'll go with the latter, please, Terence.
I'll go with the latter too, yeah, I think. But I don't know. The players don't get songs anymore, do they? How does a player earn a song these days?
Well, fans need to be in the ground first. So that's that's the initial stumbling block. I don't know. It just seems so long ago since I was in a football stadium watching football that all those little superfluous details almost feel like they never existed.
So, talking of singing songs, I stumbled across on iTunes, it's also on Spotify as well, The Anthology of Palace Fans, Volume 1. Have you seen this?
No.
So it's got 73 tracks on it, and it starts off with Glad All Over.
Obviously.
So when I turned it on, I was expecting Glad All Over by Dave Clark 5. But no, it was this. And it is 73 songs of Crystal Palace fans singing. God knows how people have got it, who's recorded this. But
we need to record like an infomercial for it, featuring classics such as...
Yes, definitely.
Glad All Over.
Ron Node's mother is a...
Beep.
Well, this is what you know. It starts off with a classic. It's Glad All Over, We Love You, We Are Palace. Goes down Eagles. It's got the old classic from EIEIEIO, all of that. And you know, I was just scrolling down and laughing, flicking through songs, and then you start getting, you know, a bit more PG-13. Get into them. and the Hark Now Here, and then as it goes further down, we start getting into We Hate Brighton, and it's got 30 Goals, Thanks a Lot in there as well. And then we get into who the Hell Are You. It doesn't say fucking. It's got what else we got? We got this. Fucking useless, followed by Dirty Northerners. Stick Your Clappers. And also, this was also a favourite.
Wake Up, that one's called.
So it is brilliant. Go and have a listen to it, because just at the next Palace game is on TV, turn fucking Martin Keown down and put this on. Sound much better.
Track 73, Oh Tommy Robinson.
Oh, no, track 73 is Cheers. Don't know what that means.
Is it the theme from Cheers?
Hey, it's nice. Olays. So when you're passing the ball, oh, hey.
Obviously you've seen the list, Terence, so you can't really play this game. But Heskiff, if I gave you a minute, do you think you could name 73 individual unique Palace chants?
Well, that's what I realised. This is like, wow, I know all the words to at least 73 songs. This is ludicrous.
That geezer on the drums got a lot to remember when you think about it.
Well, if you think about it as well, like you go to Southampton and all they sing is When the Saints Go Marching In. And we've got 73 songs at least to go after.
We're prolific. We're like fucking, we're the Paul McCartney of fucking football fandom.
Yeah, but to end on the track list, in track 69, Tom Sawers.
Oh, and God.
So Sawers is what I got the last time I had a 69. So,
can you play the Tom Sawers one? I can't remember any fucking chant for Tom Sawers. Right,
okay. Incoming.
Is it lots of groaning?
Ah, of yeah, there you go. So I mean,
naffing it needs a bit more bass.
I think that just might be me playing it through my phone, but yeah. So there you go, the Crystal Palace fans anthology, volume one.
When does volume two come out?
Let's see if there's a volume two down here. There's another one.
What year was this released?
2015 apparently. Oh. Yeah, no, fans chant. They're on 2006, this one, but that doesn't seem right because there's songs on there, including Glenn Murray, so that can't be right. But so it looks about 2015.
Fair play.
Yeah, Get Maritz Out for the Lads and Other Classics.
Classics.
You've just suggested that Get Maritz Out for the Lads is a classic by... I guess it's pretty good. Well... I would say it's on. It's on iTunes.
Yep, iTunes, Spotify.
On iTunes.
I have
Apple Music.
Apple Music. Yeah, so I don't know how much it is, but it's on Spotify as well. If you have a Spotify.
No, I'm on. Good news for me. I'm on Apple Music, so all bought and paid for. Thank you very much.
Well, there we go. So we'll look into doing that infomercial then for this, and we'll get in some sales. Should we talk about some actual football then?
Nah, let's just wrap it up there, mate.
Well, I mean, you didn't message before in the WhatsApp group saying, who are we playing? So
I was just checking that you guys had done your homework United.
That's better research than we normally do. We normally wait till the end and then say, who have we got again?
Who we got next? Yeah, I mean, I was going to be asking that question, so I can do that research now why one of you two are talking about football.
back of the nest. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Fun time videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So it is West Ham who are unbeaten in their last six in all competitions. At the time of recording, of course. A bit like us, when we get going under Roy, everything's a tight game. All the winning margins are by one. Heskey, what did you think of them when we played them at Upton Park? Do you think, well, at least up until Benteke went off, I would say we were probably the better team there. But
yeah, I'd agree. I watched a couple of their games on telly since, and they've looked all right. But I just... Yeah, it just made me think. I thought we were much a better team actually until the sending off, which, as we all know, is a fucking terrible decision. So they should be something there where we can say that we know we can play well against them and get at them because we already did. But yeah, I don't know if it's sort of more of a case of if we let that first goal in, are we just gonna sort of crumble? Because, you know, if you look at the teams that have beaten us of late, like Newcastle are terrible. Liverpool can't score against anyone except against us, where they score seven.
They've scored eight goals in their last six games, Liverpool. seven of them were against us.
Should have held some back, shouldn't they?
Exactly, they really should have.
Before we played Man City, everyone was like, oh, they're not firing, are they, Man City? It's not the team. Oh, 4-0. You know, so I do think we're at the point where if we let in the first goal, we sort of give up a bit and let it go.
I think every time on the TV they put that record up about when we go behind, it's an age since we last won when we went behind. I think that was the last time we lost when we scored the first goal was at Anfield when we lost 4-3. Another Max Meyer goal in that one. But yeah, they always put up the stat up that we just do not win when we concede the first goal. I think we only have 1 point this season, which would be Spurs.
Yeah. Mm. But last season we came back from behind in both games against West Ham, didn't we? So
yeah, come back to win, yeah.
We could do it. But yeah, like you say, they're in good form. Bowen's look good from what I've seen. So it'll be a tough one, but we just need to, we say this every week, we need to have a good start and be positive because, as we've said, getting naught shots on target. I think you told us it was 26% of our games this season. We've not had a shot on target, which is insane.
Yeah, I found out that the number I saw included cup games, so that percentage comes down a little bit because I thought they were talking league games. But then I think if you don't want to look at that stat, if you include one shot on target, it gets way, way worse.
And that's the thing. It's not, you know, it's not a surprise when you see some of our games. Like you look at that Wolves Cup game, and I know Man City are Man City, but still, it was pretty dire, wasn't it? So we just need to get out of this little rut of not creating anything, because as much as we bang on about how great it is to sign a new striker, if we don't create any chances, don't make any difference, does it?
Mm. Well, whoscored.com, which is a website that we love on Back of the Nest, as you all know, there isn't a preview for this game yet because they've got Doncaster in between. But it says match forecast, West Ham will score from a set piece. very likely, considering they're very strong at scoring from set pieces and we're very weak at defending them. And Albert, it doesn't help that they've got one of your old boys up there, Craig Dawson, going up for corners and free kicks.
It's not a very helpful thing to say, is it, Terence?
I'm certainly going to miss not being in the ground and being able to shout him. I will still probably shout him through my TV on Tuesday night.
Wake up chant on your phone, pumping through some sort of sound system.
Yeah, just play it on loop for the entire 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. But it's another one of those not being secure from set pieces when we're defending them and not keeping clean sheets, or, you know, I guess we've kept a couple recently, but conceded a lot more goals than you expect a Roy Hodgson outfit to do. So do you worry that West Ham are going to take advantage of that?
I worry about them scoring from all avenues, not just set pieces. I mean, yeah, we're very sort of flimsy at the moment at the back. West Ham have put together a decent string of results. And yeah, crucially, like you've alluded to, Terence, they don't concede a lot. So that doesn't make great reading for us. But like you say, I thought we were a better team in the last game. It was only a really shit sending off and, you know, 1 in 1,000 goal of the season contender that sort of scuppered that for us, really.
Mm. And he's no longer there. He's gone now. So.
And he's no longer there. So all things point to a positive outcome for us. But and we all know what that means. I don't know. It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. They're a team in form. We're a team very much not in form, but I just don't like losing to West Ham. So I really hope that that's not the case.
Yeah, it might not be. I mean, look, it's very easy to get downtrodden after getting spanked 4-0 at City, but, you know, it is Man City. We were, if you look back to the two previous games where we picked up results against Man City, it was Jeff Schlupp and Zaha's pace on the counter-attack that really caused them problems. And obviously both of those players were missing from that game. Man City have barely conceded a goal. I think they've conceded 6 in all competitions in their last 22 or something. And for context, the only team that's bettered that in the last 50 years or something was Chelsea in 2005, when they barely conceded a goal at all. So, you know, defensively, they've certainly shored it up at the back. And, you know, if better teams than us aren't creating chances against them, then, well, there you go. It's going to be very difficult for us to do it. And yeah, hopefully Wolf will be back for this one, and it can be a bit different for us. And, you know, West Ham aren't Man City. They can't just, you know, sit on top of us, like deep in our own half the entire game, and not have to worry about any counter-attacking threat, because we should have some more players back. But before that, you know, if you count out the FA Cup game, is 2 clean sheets in the league. We kept Leicester to only 1 goal, a late goal in that, albeit we did save a penalty. And then before that, it's obviously you got the 3-0 and the 7-0. So there's hopefully been some signs that we're getting back towards being a little bit more solid defensively, and a bit more how Roy is looking. But I think, you know, we've got 2 big tests coming up in playing West Ham and then playing Wolves again. It seems like all we ever do is play Wolves at the moment, but it'll be Wolves again. So I think those next couple of games can really set the tone for the fixture list that's coming up, which, you know, if you play fantasy football, you probably want Wilfried Zaha in there, because there are a run of fixtures that hopefully we should pick up some points from. But who knows? Hesketh, what's the score going to be? I mean, yeah. Oh, is it back to winning ways, or is it a draw, or what are you thinking?
I'll go 1-0.
1-0. Positive. I like it.
Yeah.
And Albert, what about you?
Hesketh's nicked mine.
Sorry.
That's fine. Oh, God. That was as positive as I was feeling. So I guess I'll have to just go 0-0. Ugh.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but then, like, looking back, because you love to correct my predictions last week, it was like the last 6 games, 1-1, 3-2, 1-1, 1-2, 2-1, 1-1. So, It's certainly a fixture that's got both teams to score written on it. So I suppose I'll go for a 2-1 Palace win. I'll be positive. And Mateta off the bench to score a winner on his debut. I'm trying to think, when was the last time we had a striker score a winner on his debut? What did we have? James Vaughan scored a hat-trick on his home debut, didn't he? But it wasn't his full debut.
When's the last time we had a striker that scored a winner full stop?
Jordan Ayew at Brighton? No, that can't be right. Jordan Ayew against Watford? Jordan Ayew at Bournemouth last season? There you go. That must be it.
Oh, grim.
Oh no, come on, we've had this season. Let's not be harsh. Benteke scored a couple at West Brom. Yeah, come on, we've had strikers score. Don't worry about it. Don't be so harsh. Things are getting better, Albert.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all about to turn. The tide's about to turn. We're going to go on one of those runs where Hodgson, you know, pins together, you know, 15 points out of nowhere. Don't worry about it. Right, so I do know what the plan is for next week. I imagine we will be back recording on Wednesday after the West Ham game. And we will, I imagine, be reviewing this game and previewing Wolves, who will be coming to Selhurst Park on Saturday. Yeah, not them again. I know. Tell me about it. Which is, you know, we did so well against them in the first season they came up. We was one of the only teams that did do well against them. But since then, it's been slim pickings, that's for sure.
Shit pickings.
Yeah, but I don't know. So we'll see. It might be us three. You never know. Hambo might join in because it's a review. But we shall see what happens then. And yeah, hope you enjoyed the show. And until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.